Well, Boris Johnson was fighting for his political survival yesterday as he defended Downing Street gatherings during lockdown. The former Prime Minister was questioned under oath for more than 3 hours by the House of Commons Privileges Committee. They're examining whether he misled MPs in his statements to the House about the Partygate controversy. Mr Johnson was vehement in his own defence, telling Conservative MP Bernard Jenkin that a leaving drinks gathering where he was photographed toasting colleagues was absolutely essential for work purposes.
I swear by Almighty God that the evidence I shall give for this committee shall be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. So help me God. I am here to say to you, hand on heart, that I did not lie to the House. When those statements were made, they were made in good faith and on the basis of what I honestly knew and believed at the time. I apologise for inadvertently misleading this House. But to say that I did it recklessly or deliberately is completely untrue.
The photographs show a lack of social distancing of 2 metres, which was required by the workplace guidance at the time.
It was 1 metre we were going
to get. So do you accept that you were present at this gathering and that people were not socially distanced while you were there?
I thought it was essential for work purposes. November the 13th was a day in which two senior officials, senior advisers in government, had left their jobs in very, very difficult and challenging circumstances. And it was necessary to steady the ship. I accept that perfect social distancing, Sir Bernard, is not being observed, but that does not mean that what we were doing, in my view, is incompatible with the guidance.
I don't think we agree with your interpretation of the guidance.
Indeed, that was Bernard Jenkins, and before that Boris Johnson giving evidence to the House of Commons Privileges Committee. Yesterday, on the line now, Fraser Nelson, editor of The Spectator and Daily Telegraph columnist. It was a passionate performance, Fraser Nelson. Was it convincing?
I'm not sure anybody would have changed their minds watching that performance. The strange thing is that we all know that he misled the House of Commons. We all know that the parties took place and he was wrong to deny them. So what the committee is asking is a rather strange question. What was in his mind at the time? Did he knowingly mislead or did he not? Now, the difference between these two outcomes could mean the end of his political career, because if he gets accused of deliberately misleading the House, he could be suspended for 10 days, that could mean a by-election, and that could mean that he's voted out of the House of Commons. So that's what this is really about, because the committee has in its power to have a very rare punishment, which could lead to the unprecedented spectacle of a former Prime Minister out of the Commons.
And in many ways, you know, through the past few years, Boris Johnson again and again proved himself to be a political Houdini, that he could break a lot of the rules that would bring down another politician and still survive. But given, I mean, even during the fact that they took a break to go off for the storm and break vote yesterday, there was no big rebellion against Rishi Sunak over the Windsor framework. How far has the tide gone out on Boris's popularity in the Conservative Party?
Well, there's a strange thing. He's still reasonably popular amongst the members, but they don't want him back as leader. He was one of the 22 MPs who voted against the Northern Ireland settlements yesterday, but it was a very convincing win for Rishi Sunak. I think this underlines the fact that he isn't really a powerful political force. There's not going to be no Napoleon-style comeback from his exile. And Boris Johnson is still a fascinating political figure. That's why everybody's discussing about what he did or didn't mean when he spoke in the Commons. And now, even though he's been kicked out as Prime Minister, he's still a very entertaining figure. But has he got the power to come back as Prime Minister? I really don't think so.
Yes, Steve Baker, again, now working in Northern Ireland. But that remark about comparing Boris Johnson to a pound shop Nigel Farage, that was pretty cutting, wasn't it?
Well, this was just demonstrating that there isn't really unity anymore amongst the Eurosceptic group that used to see Boris Johnson as a hero. A lot of those who took him to power in the first place, probably the majority of them, will say now that they absolutely don't want him back because he was such a disappointment in office. So comments like Steve Baker's just remind everybody that there is no power base for Boris Johnson strong enough to take him back as leader.
And while all of this focus was going on what was happening at the Privileges Committee and what Boris Johnson was saying, we learned about Rishi Sunak, the Prime Minister, and his tax bill of 400,000, is that right?
Yes, that's because when he bought and sold assets, he got a profit of £1.6 million, which makes him, forget it, we all know that his wife is richer than the king. But what we didn't really know was that Sunak himself, by the money he made in banking before he entered Parliament, is perhaps the richest Prime Minister ever to sit in 10 Downing Street. But he made his money fair and square. I think that people were more likely to admire him for that than resent him.
All right, Fraser Nelson, editor of The Spectator. Thank you very much indeed for speaking to us on Morning Ireland.